Good morning. Thank you, Amanda, for leading us in our creed. That is a statement of what we believe. It's a declaration we make to tell the world who we are as Christians. And as part of that, we did that last week just as a reminder that the ascension is essential to our faith. And then this week we're talking about Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so that too is part of our creed, that we believe in the Holy Spirit. And so so today we celebrate Pentecost, which is all about God's gift of the Holy Spirit to humanity. And so to tell us the story, the account of that first Pentecost, that coming of the Spirit, we have our own Jenny Gates to lead us in that. So Jenny, tell us what it was like.
Good morning. I'm Jenny Gates. I miss you all so much. Thank you for worshiping with us today on Pentecost Sunday. And this morning I'm going to read Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jenny. We miss you too and your family. And thank you, Aaron, for greeting us this morning. Man, it was good to see those guys. We miss all of you. But still, we gather here virtually, and we're grateful that you're with us, and we are celebrating Pentecost, which I think is interesting since we're all apart. The Holy Spirit knows no boundaries. And so today we celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Penta, meaning the number 5 or 50, it comes 50 days after Passover. Originally in the Old Testament, it was a harvest festival where people would bring their first fruits as a way of saying thanks to God for his providence, giving them what they needed along the way.
Yeah, and so that's why when she read the scripture and it talked about the Holy Spirit enabling people to speak in different languages, that was so important because all these different people from lots of different places had gathered together in the one city. The Holy Spirit came there. They all heard about what was happening in their own language, and they were able to take that back home with them.
Yeah, super cool stuff. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been there on that day when flaming tongues from above, like fire. We got some flames here.
Yeah.
Orange, yellow, a little bit of red.
Colors. Red is the official Pentecost color.
Yeah, that's on our background.
I don't do a lot of red or orange.
Orange. It's my only day I get to wear
the orange.
Orange
shirt today.
It's the only day that I get to wear orange because it's too akin to the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, as a Kentucky girl, we don't do orange. But
there's no real liturgical.
I still love you.
There's no real liturgical season of blue.
Which is a shame. Blue is the best.
Pentecost.
Anyway, back to Pentecost, which is also considered the birthday of the church.
The birthday of the church. It's when it all gets started. In fact, if you keep reading beyond what Jenny shared with us, you hear some kind of curious or nosy, or I guess maybe even, I would say,
concerned, maybe
grumpy old onlookers who said they're all drunk, right? And Peter stands up, starts preaching, tells them, you know, they've got the Holy Spirit, and you know, they're glad that Jesus, who you crucified, gives them salvation.
Yeah.
And so, like 3,000 people that day got saved.
The first sermon on the first day of the church,
big deal.
And a lot of people came to know who Jesus was, which is pretty awesome.
Big deal. So today we want to spend some time with you here in our tag team once again.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. It's like, kind of like we get to teach like a class with our board and our slides and stuff. It's kind of fun.
I'm just glad they're here with us. We appreciate you. We miss you. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and just maybe answer these questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. What is his role, and then maybe how we might adjust or live our lives in light of that or differently because of that.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you asking those questions. We hear you. We know. And that's why we're going to jump right on it.
All
so
right.
Do you want to give us our first slide?
Yeah, here we go. So the first slide says that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force.
That is true. So we understand the Holy Spirit to be God, fully and holy. We believe God is Trinitarian. Mm-hmm. So God exists in, let's see, technical here, one Godhead with three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, he is co-equal to Jesus and the Father.
Yep.
And so as part of being co-equal to Jesus and the Father, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is a person. He lives within us. He has all of the power and the presence of God in us. And so...
Yeah, and another point off of that is that the Holy Spirit is eternal.
Yes.
He has existed all throughout time. And here's some ways, where, or some places, I guess, where we see throughout Scripture that the Holy Spirit has always existed.
Sure.
Ready for that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So the Holy Spirit assisted in creation. In the creation story, we see where God says, you know, we're going to create people in our own image. Like, the Holy Spirit is a part of that. The Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. So anytime that there was a person that God wanted them to give a specific message to a specific group of people, the Holy Spirit was at work there. The Holy Spirit enabled the virgin birth. The Holy Spirit, this didn't get on the slide, but was present at Jesus' baptism.
Yes. So we read in the New Testament that, you know, when Jesus came, he emptied himself. And then we see at his baptism, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven like a dove, in the form of a dove, and just lands on Jesus, fills Jesus. And we see his ministry begin at that point.
Yep. So, of course, today we're talking about Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is present at Pentecost and given to all people. And the Holy Spirit is alive in believers everywhere. And since the Holy Spirit is eternal, that's from now to the end of time.
From here on out, exactly.
Yeah. It's a little hard to understand sometimes because we're also saying that the Holy Spirit was given as a gift to believers at Pentecost following Jesus' ascension. And we're saying that the Holy Spirit existed and was at work before that. So let's try to make a distinction here.
Sure.
And say that prior to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is given to certain people for specific tasks. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is made available to all people, to everybody, to dwell in them for lots of different tasks or for lots of different gifts or functions.
Yes. So to understand that, and in fact, it's all part of God's plan moving forward. And so Jesus is crucified, is now resurrected, and has ascended. And so now we receive power from on high, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit gives us power, it says earlier in Acts, to be witnesses.
Yeah.
So to go out and tell Jesus' story. And then also what we want to say is that the Holy Spirit makes real the grace and the work of Jesus in order to restore people to God. That this is a major work of the Holy Spirit, is restoring us back to God. So when we talk about how the Holy Spirit is at work restoring us to God, we're going to look at that through a Wesleyan perspective.
Yeah, so one of my favorite parts about being Wesleyan or being United Methodist is Wesley's understanding of grace. He understood grace. Well, first of all, grace is God's unmerited favor. In other words, his love for us that is not based on our goodness, mm-hmm. but rather on his grace. That is undeserved, unearned, and it's given to us freely. And so Wesley had an understanding sort of threefold of that, that God's grace came in a prevenient format, if you will, where God came to us when we were farthest from him.
Yeah.
That God's grace goes before us. Prevenient is the word that he used,
yeah.
So that we understood that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he comes to us and helps, convicts us of sin, helps us to see our need for a Savior. Then in his, Wesley said there's justifying grace. It's the grace of God that cleanses us from our sin and makes us new. And so we are made just as if, justifying, just as if we had never sinned before. And then you've got sanctifying grace, which is the grace of God that comes to us that sanctifies or sets us apart, mm-hmm. makes us new, perfects us to make us more like Jesus, and continues just to shape and to mold us. And so we see the work of the Holy Spirit all throughout that process, in the prevenient grace that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. We see it in justification, in that he assures us of our salvation, that the work of Christ is enough. And then in sanctification, of course, convicting us, leading us, prompting us, and you
Yeah, I like to think of that as like sustaining us.
Sustaining.
It's like God's sustaining grace that keeps us going, that that leads and guides and prompts us to sometimes do the right thing or say the right thing or to know something.
Yeah, and just going back to our heading, you know, that the Holy Spirit makes real the grace of God and the work of Jesus in order to restore people to God. The coming of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life is all toward that redemptive work of Jesus mm-hmm. in the world. It's meant to make, turn things back right, to make the kingdom a reality.
That's right. So the Holy Spirit has different roles or functions in our lives.
Yeah, I was going to tell them, you know, just to understand like roles and functions, like you are a person, I am a person. We have different roles and functions. You are
sure.
A mom, mm-hmm. which a fantastic one, I might say.
Thank you.
You do a great job. And you also have a role as a wife, and I might say you're pretty good at that too.
Thank you.
You are also a daughter. Mm-hmm. You are a friend. You have different roles and functions. It doesn't, you know, you are not here for one singular purpose. And I believe the Holy Spirit has been given to us to play multiple roles in our life. And so tell us some of those.
So here's some of those.
Which is not an exhaustive list.
Right. It's just a few.
This is just a few I came up with.
Yeah. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, you've already talked a little bit about the restoring work, but the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit convicts people of sin and convinces them of truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about the prevenient grace too, which is kind of where this is, I also like to think of that as the pursuing grace, like God sending the Holy Spirit to come to
yes.
us. Yeah.
Can I interrupt you for just a moment too to point out that's in the idea that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. Jesus said that mm-hmm. In John chapter 16. And so if you were with us last week, you know, I was kind of saying that if we were going to do this kind of conversationally, I was going to need you to read John 14. Well,
yeah.
This week,
well, I think you told him 13 and 14.
I think I did. This week, I want to ask you to go check out 16. If you look, and your Bible probably like mine has certain headings, there's two very distinct sections in John 14 and 16, where Jesus is having conversation with the disciples. It's the last moments before he's taken, you know, to the cross. He's prepping them for what's next, and he really gives us a clear picture of the Holy Spirit. And so John chapter 16 this week, and then go back and review 14 from last week.
Might as well throw in 15 while we're at it.
Just read the whole 15, thing. 15, won't 16. Hurt you. Promise.
Okay, the next thing, and this one is a really cool, but the Holy Spirit inspires Scripture twice.
Two times. We call it twice inspired. We understand our Bible to be a group of Scripture that is set apart. It is the holy, you know, it is set apart. We believe that this has been the inspired Word of God. It's not man-made, but rather it is directed and given by God. And so we believe that when Paul sat down to write those letters, when Luke decides to give us a detailed account of what of Jesus' life, and when John, you know, puts down his words, all of that is done under the inspiration, the authority, and the power of the Holy Spirit's work in their life. But also when you and I sit down to read this canon or this group of scriptures, when we sit down to see it, it's way more than just words on paper.
Right.
It's far more than ink and parchment. It is the Word of God that is now inspired by the Holy Spirit. As we read it, the Spirit works within us to reveal to us Christ once more as we read. And we believe kind of cover to cover, this tells the story of God's redemptive work in and through Christ. And so when we sit down to read our Bible, it's kind of really, I don't know, it's amazing and it's powerful to think that the Spirit of God dwells within me, so that when I open this book, the same Spirit that instructed and guided Paul is the same one that instructs and guides me. And so there's a powerful moment when we open the Bible. It's not just reading for understanding, it's reading for transformation.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact way to say it, but it's something about like you think you're reading the Bible, but really the Bible's reading you.
Yes.
And that's the Holy
yes.
Spirit at work in us, telling us yep. what we need to hear from it.
One of the things you mentioned in our previous 34 cuts of this is too that, yeah, I totally just had a blank thought right there.
Is it when I said, when you read it, sometimes
yes.
multiple times, you've read the same passage over and over, but one day you'll be yes. reading that same passage and think, why didn't I see that before? Why didn't I understand it that way before? Or
exactly.
This is sticking out to me.
Because of the Spirit's work, this is a living document. And so we revisit it. We read the same thing over and over again because we believe that God speaks to us once again and opens our eyes to see. And so, yeah, read your Bible. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you.
Yeah, in that moment of vulnerability there, to take whatever number.
Uh-huh.
We've done this a couple times now today, but I think the Holy Spirit can still work.
Absolutely.
We said that He worked twice on Scripture, so He can work on us 5 or 7 or 100 times that we've
done. It's Friday afternoon. You're hearing this on Sunday morning. The Spirit's still going to move.
That's right.
It's all good.
All right.
Thanks for still being with us. Carry on.
Next one, the Holy Spirit, role of guiding believers. And
yeah.
This one, I think, where we're kind of talking about sustaining and the sanctifying there, like, sometimes the Holy Spirit tells you the next right thing to do, or if you don't have the words, gives you the words to say.
Yeah, I think, and you guys are way
familiar. Back to John 14.
I was going to say, they're very familiar with this, but you remember, as you read in John chapter 14, you know, Jesus said, you know, that the Holy Spirit will come and remind you of everything that I've taught you and will continue to reveal. And so there's this impressive work of the Holy Spirit in our life to help us see Jesus as we continue to follow in faithfulness to Him.
All right, so next two, the Holy Spirit provides power to accomplish the impossible.
Yep.
This was when, what we talked about the ascension last week, when it said, when Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will give you power to go to Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have that power to go out.
You're
going to
be my witnesses.
You didn't think you could do.
You're going to be my witnesses. I'm going to empower you to do so, and we do that. We receive that power through the Holy Spirit.
All right, and then last for today, is that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts for ministry, and can read more about that in 1 Corinthians 12.
Yeah, and I'll say just a quick bit on that is, and this is one of the greatest privileges I have as a pastor, to get to see how we as a church are made up of very different people. Everybody's different. I'm different than you. You're different than me. Mm-hmm. We have been given gifts to do certain things very well. And so through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so there are certain tasks and things that the kingdom requires that only you can do and I can't do. And so when we all play our role according to the Spirit working through us, the church becomes this beautiful sort of mosaic, you know, broken pieces working together for something really purposeful and beautiful.
Yep. All right. So now, next slide is one we've tried to work on the wording mm-hmm. of to kind of convey the right idea. And what we've come up with today is that the Holy Spirit, man, you think on take 53, I would have fixed the typo.
Oh, no, not necessarily.
Whatever. Here we go. The Holy Spirit does not, just forget the is there. The Holy Spirit does not discriminate, but the Holy Spirit does respect conditions.
Yeah.
In our culture, in the last week, we have seen discrimination flaring up, and that's something that's real and people struggle with. The Holy Spirit,
yes.
There's no room for that.
Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit is made available to all people. And so kind of to flesh out that idea a little bit more about the Holy Spirit is for everybody, regardless of where you were born or how much money you make or the color of your skin, we say that the Holy Spirit will come to anyone, but will only dwell where He's allowed. So in other words, that's where the respecting of the conditions is. If you don't want to allow the Holy Spirit space in your life, He won't come in and take it.
Yeah, and I think the positive spin on this is, if we would yet avail ourselves to the work of the Spirit, He will come and take up residence. You know, when Jesus said, you're going to go be my witnesses that in, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the world, like, that was in stark contrast to the religious leaders of that day, because they thought we are set apart and we're the only ones. And Jesus made it very clear in His ministry and in right before He was headed up, literally up. This is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
All can be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved, and they all can receive the Holy Spirit if they will avail themselves to the power and the work of the Spirit in their life.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful picture of all people being able to come together in God's love and all people being able to experience that.
I think they're asking us right now. I can hear it. They're asking us, what do I do to receive the Holy Spirit?
Okay.
What needs to be my next step?
Tell
Did you hear
me.
That?
Yeah, you're telling me to put the next slide up. Is that
no,
it?
No, I thought I was hearing the inquiring minds. The work of the Holy Spirit in and through us is directly proportional to our willingness to surrender to Him. So when Jesus shows up on earth, we read he emptied himself.
Yep.
And then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I think a key component to the Spirit's work in our life is how much are we willing to say, it is not mine anymore, but it's yours. How much we are willing to surrender. Our level of surrender will be directly proportional to the level at which God has reign and rule in our life. When we give it to him, he will fill us to overflow. And so the work of the Spirit is directly relational to our willingness to surrender to him. So if you want to know, what is it like to live this Holy Spirit-dominated life, this powerful, this discerning, this God-guided life, we've got to give ourselves up. We've got to empty ourselves, and we've got to give ourselves away. We have to surrender.
You have a really, well, you didn't make it up. Mm-hmm. One of our seminary professors, Dr. Steve Siemens,
yes,
used this illustration. And I thought that was a really kind of beautiful picture to kind of make sense in our brain of how the Holy Spirit works.
I think I'll share that, and then we can wrap this up. Yeah. How about that? Thank you for prompting me.
You're welcome.
Kind of like the Holy Spirit must have prompted you.
That's right.
And you're prompting me, so way to be a channel and a vessel. So our seminary professor, Dr. Siemens, referred to life as a boat. And what he said essentially is, like, you know, many of us live life under our own control, our own power. We want to decide where we go. We want to do things ourselves. Mm-hmm. We want to determine our destination. And so in order to do that, it is like we are the captains of our own rowboat. And so we do so under our own power, and we determine where we go. We make all our own decisions. The only problem with that is it's incredibly exhausting. It is tiring. It's not life-giving. It is, and it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
He said, you know, the spirit life, or the spirit-driven life, the God-empowered life, is one of a sailboat. Now, of all people, those of us living here on the beautiful Mississippi Gulf Coast, you should be able to understand this and grab a hold of it. The spirit-driven life is a life where we raise the sails. I mean, we can leave them down and just sit in the water while the wind blows, the Spirit blows all around us. But when we raise the sail, we avail ourselves. We say, okay, God, I am yours. I surrender to you. When we do that, the wind of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God then fills us and moves us, guides us, gives us power, gives us direction, and we are along for the ride. And I believe that is our best life, when we can find that place. But it means that we raise the sail and we give up control, and we trust that the Spirit will lead us where the Spirit wants us to go.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful picture of what it looks like. And so today, as we kind of wrap up, we want to issue another invitation.
Yeah.
And what we want to invite you to do is to sing the next song with us. We're going to close today with this song called Holy Spirit, which is kind of a prayer directed towards the Holy Spirit. It uses the word welcome, like we're saying welcome into our midst, Holy Spirit. We want to experience more of you and your goodness. Let me get the right word. You would think since I helped sing the song, I would have the right words up here. Let us become more aware of your presence. That's the one I'm searching for.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm searching for an exact line. Yeah. But just a prayer that we would become more aware of the presence of God in us, that we would welcome the Holy Spirit, that we would make more space in our lives. And so we encourage you, as the band leads this song, that you would sing along with us. If you're not comfortable singing that, like maybe praying these lyrics or listening to them and just letting them wash over you, and maybe surrendering yourself a little bit more to the Holy Spirit today.
I love that line, let us become more aware of your presence, because honestly, like, we don't need more Holy Spirit around here. The Holy Spirit is with us.
Yeah.
Are we willing to receive what he has? Are we willing to become aware that God's been here all along?
Yeah.
The wind has been blowing. We simply raise the sail and get in, you know, allow God to move and work in us. So would you sing with us? Would you join with us? I know it may be awkward in your home with your family, but we would love for you to sing along with us and to find ourselves at a place of surrender. God, I can't live my life alone anymore. I can't, it's not life-giving. I'm exhausted. I'm not going where I think I ought to go. And so I'm raising the sails, and I want you to take me, and I want to be more aware of where you're at. You are welcome in my life.